the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The epistle of today's Mass is called, commonly, St. Paul's Hymn to Charity, because he says such beautiful things about the virtue of charity. The occasion of it is that the Corinthians have been deceived into thinking that the gift of tongues is the greatest of all of the supernatural qualities. But St. Paul is disabusing them of this notion. By charity here, St. Paul is referring to the love of God for God's sake and the love of neighbor for God's sake. That means the love of God as the supreme supernatural good, the object of our perfect love, the love of God because He is all good. That is charity. His first point is that charity is the one necessary virtue, and if we had anything else or everything else, we would still not have what it takes to go to heaven. St. Paul even says that even if we should perform extraordinary acts of goodness for our neighbor, and even sacrifice our lives, but for the wrong motive. That is, without supernatural charity, it contributes nothing to eternal salvation. From this preliminary exhortation, we should learn that we should not be so naive as to place our hope of salvation in some good quality that we might have, that we are a good person, or people think well of us. Some natural virtue. What counts for eternal salvation is our love of God and our love of neighbor for God's sake. St. Paul then describes the exalted nature of this virtue. Charity is the queen of virtues since it makes men do good things which they would never do by nature. Charity is friendship with God and therefore causes a union of the soul with God and consequently seeks to transform the human soul into God in a certain way. Obviously not in the strict sense. You don't become God by charity, but you become like God because you have God's life in you. You have the very fire, an imitation of God's own fire of divine love in you by charity. And this union makes you like God. And that's why it is such a great virtue. Charity is lost by mortal sin, since mortal sin destroys this friendship with God. He says, charity envieth not. That means it is not saddened by the good fortune of others, but rejoices in it. For fraternal charity unites us to our neighbor so that we rejoice at his good and sorrow at his evil. He says, charity dealeth not perversely, and this means that charity is not ostentatious. It does not put on airs. It is not puffed up, but is always humble and modest in its operations. He says charity is not ambitious, which means it does not seek honor. It does not seek places of power beyond what is reasonable and what is in accordance with the common good. To be ambitious in the bad sense is to seek places or honors which are beyond one's ability or merits. He says charity is not provoked to anger. This means that charity overcomes the so natural inclination in us to strike back at those who injure us. Therefore, charity does not contemplate any evil in return, but rather is inclined to think of the evil inflicted as unintentional and is inclined to forgive it and to forget about it. Charity rejoiceth not at iniquity, but rejoiceth with the truth. Charity does not therefore take a glee in seeing evil done to an enemy, except if it is a means of stopping his sin. but rather charity delights in the conversion of one's enemy to good. Truth here means truth of life, that is, the uprightness of moral life. Like God, charity does not seek the death of the sinner, but rather his conversion. He says, charity beareth all things, that is, it refuses no service which God or neighbor should demand of it. Charity believeth all things, that is, it presumes that one's neighbor is telling the truth, and will only believe the opposite if there is prudent evidence. Charity is therefore not suspicious. Charity hopeth all things, that is, it will never lose hope in the conversion of one's neighbor. Charity endureth all things, that is, it will put up with any injuries which an enemy may inflict, and this in order to bring him to God. For fraternal charity always wants to bring your neighbor to God. St. Paul then speaks about the excellence of charity. He says that charity is the most important of all the virtues, since it is what animates all of them. Just like the sun brings out the flowers and the fruit in the springtime, so the warmth of charity brings out all of the other virtues. Thus we are patient because we love God. And we are chaste because we love God. We forgive injuries because we love God. We pray because we love God. We are diligent in our duties because we love God. All of those acts are acts of charity in the sense that they are all motivated, moved by charity, love of God. Love of God, we can say, is the soul of the entire spiritual life. It is the vine. And the particular virtues that we do, whether it is to clean our house or keep our affairs in order, whatever we do, they are the branches off of this vine of charity, which is love of God. And if our virtues should ever become detached from charity by mortal sin, then these virtues profit us nothing in the order of eternal salvation. And that's what he says. You could give all of your goods to the poor, but that is profits you nothing if you do not have charity. And St. Paul finishes by enumerating the three theological virtues, faith, hope, and charity. Faith is that by which we believe what God says, as it is proposed to us by the Roman Catholic Church. Hope is that virtue by which we have confidence in what God promises, eternal salvation. And charity is that virtue whereby we love God for his goodness, his supernatural goodness, and our neighbor for God's sake. So when we see God in heaven, faith will pass away because we cannot believe in something that we see with our own eyes. And in heaven, hope will pass away because we cannot hope for something that we already possess, which is the vision of God. But charity will continue to exist because charity will find its longed for object, which is God in all of his goodness in the beatific vision. So may your Lent then be an increase of charity above all things, an increase of charity. And where therefore you have neglected your prayers, now be diligent in them. And if you have been impure, now be chaste. If you have been impatient, now be patient. And if you have been moved to revenge, now forgive your enemies. If you have gossiped, now is the time to keep the mouth shut. And if you have been cold to others' miseries, now is the time to be sensitive to them in all charity. If you have been vain, now is the time to be humble. And if you have lied, now is the time to tell the truth. And if you have dishonored God by self-love, now is the time to honor him by charity. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.